Continuing in Masechta Menachos, Daf Lamed Daled. If there is a two-story house with a doorway at the top and a doorway at the bottom of the stairway between them, both doors are chayev b'mezuzah. And if a room has four doors, but only one is ragil, only one is commonly used, still all four are chayev b'mezuzah. The right side is the side for the mezuzah, because the pasuk says, Uchsaftem al mezuzais beisecha. Beisecha could be read beisecha, or biyoscha, meaning derech biyoscha, the way you walk in. And since a person starts walking, he begins with his right foot, the derech biyoscha would be on the right. Others learn that since by the mizbeach, the approach to the gates of the Beis Hashem were on the right side, so all approaches with a chashivas are always called to the right side. A door must have two doorposts to be chayev in mezuzah, since the pasuk says al mezuzais, plural. Meir holds, even one doorpost is chayev, since the pasuk later repeats mezuzos, and whenever it's repeated twice, it means singular. When the Torah says uchsavtem by mezuzos, it means that it must be written on parchment, and it must be written with diyoy, with ink. By tefillin, the halacha is that if one letter of the tefillin is missing, or even if one letter isn't mukaf gvil, surrounded on all four sides with a drop of white parchment, it's pasul. The word letaita fais is written three times regarding tefillin. The first two are written without a vav. The third one is written with a vav. So that's like four times. The first two words, like one each, plus the third one with a vav, it's plural, so it's 1 + 1 + 2 is equal to 4. Rabbi Shmuel learns from here that we put four parshas into the tefillin. Rabbi Akiva says more. And from the pasuk of ulzikarain beinenecha, ulzikarain is singular, we learn that it lies in one house. What we actually do for the tefillin shel reish is that we write it on four pieces of parchment and we put it in four separate compartments but surround it with one piece of leather. B'di'evit, many say, you can use separate pieces of leather sewn together as one. The Mishnah Berurah says, though, if this is done, the outside of the bias at the top must clearly appear to show that the four compartments are separate. The Gemara asks, how do we write the four parshias? The parshias of the shel yad are written on one parchment. But if written on four pieces of parchment and put into one bias, b'di'evit it's kosher. But the parshias must be pasted together, since the pasuk says, v'haya l'chala ois al yadecha. Rabbi Yehuda says this, it's one ois. But Rabbi Yossi says, you don't need to paste them together. They send from Eretz Yisrael that tefillin shel yad can be converted to tefillin shel reish, but tefillin shel reish cannot be converted to tefillin shel yad. This is because the tefillin shel yad has more kedusha, since it has more of the Shem Shakai on it. And we know that the rule is, Ein Meiridin Mikdusha Chamura L'Kdusha Kala, i.e. Malin Bakaydish V'Ein Meiridin. So the Mechaber in Simen Membe's Sif Aleph paskins that one cannot go from a Shel Rosh to a Shel Rad to a Shel Yad, and you can't even use the Ritzuais for the Shel Rosh either from the Shel Yad, because again, the Shel Rosh is considered to have more Kedusha. But a Shel Yad to a Shel Rosh would be Mutter. The Gemara asks, what should be the order of the parshas in the tefillin of the Shel Reish? The parsha of Kadesh Li, and then the parsha of Ahoya Ki Yivyacha should be on the right side, i.e. the right side when looking at a person wearing the tefillin. So if you're standing and looking at somebody wearing the tefillin, the part of the right side has these two parshas in it on the right side. And all Rishayim agree that Kadesh Li comes first, and Ahoya Ki Yivyacha comes next. What about the left side? Gemara says, Shema and V'hoya im Shamaya go on the left side. And here we have the very famous machlokes between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. According to Rashi, all this Gemara goes in order, from right to left. Therefore, it begins with Kadesh, then V'hoya ki Yivyacha, as we mentioned before, then Shema, and then V'hoya im Shamaya. So V'hoya im Shamaya is at the far left, looking at a person who's wearing the tefillin. Rabbeinu Tam has an issue with this, because why did the Gemara have to separate them into two sets? Why did the Gemara have to say, these two go on the right side, and these two go on the left side? Why not just simply say the order is number one, Kadesh, number two, V'haya Ki Yivyacha, number three, Shema, and number four, V'haya Im Shamaya? Must be that the Gemara was telling us something special. And the Gemara was telling us that in each set, we begin with the outside, and then we work our way into the inside. Therefore, the order on the right side, as everyone agrees, is Kadesh and V'haya Ki Yivyacha. But on the left side, Shema is on the outside, and V'haya Im Shamaya is on the inside. So the order from left to right is Kadesh, V'haya Ki Yivyacha, V'hayem Shemaya and then Shema. So V'hayem Shemaya and Shema are flipped around. Comes out according to Rabbeinu Tam. The Parshas are not put in the order, but they are written in the Torah. Shin Shema comes before V'hayem Shemaya. To remember this order, remember that according to Rabbeinu Tam, the two V'hayas are neighbors in the middle. We, of course, as we know, we paskin like Rashi, where we put, where the order is, of course, in the order that it's written in the Torah. Kadesh V'haya ki Avyecha, Shema, and then V'hayem Shemaya. The Rambam also agrees with Rashi, and in fact the Smag relates that an ancient pair of tefillin were discovered at the gravesite of Yecheskel HaNovi in Eretz Yisrael, and the parshas were arranged with Shema preceding V'hayem Shemaya, coinciding with the position of Rashi. Many, of course, are noyeg to be machmer, and they put on a pair of tefillin both from Rashi, as well as a pair of tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam. The Rosh mentions that if one does wear both Rashi's tefillin and Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, each pair must be placed in a separate tefillin bag. The Magen Avraham and Simin Lamed Dalad Sif Katan Vav allows placing both pairs in the same tefillin bag if the bag was initially designated for that purpose. Finally, the Mishneh Berurah and Sif Katan Yud Tes writes that the two tefillin bags may be placed together in the same talis bag. It's important also to point out that although Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam argue on the order of how the four parshas are placed in the tefillin, both agree that since tefillin must be written kisidron, they must be written in the order that they're found in the Torah, still, even according to Rabbeinu Tam, Shema must be written before V'haya im Shemaya. Daf Lamed Hei. Rabbi Chanan Elam Arav says, if someone reversed the order of the parshas in the batim, they're pasul. Abaye says they're not pasul if the two outer or the two inner parshas were mixed up. Rav says the tetura of the tefillin are halacha l'maishim mitzinai. The tetura is the wide base at the bottom of the tefillin. Abaye says, the mavarta of the tefillin are halacha l'maishim mitzinai. What is the mavarta? It's the piece at the rear of the tetura, where the ritzua passes through the batim. The shin on the shalreish is also halacha l'maishim mitzinai. There's two shin, letter shin on the shalreish. The one on the right side is a shin that has four heads, and the one on the left side is a shin that has three heads. The Gemara says, the charitzim, the scratches which separate the compartments of the shalreish, must come all the way down to the bottom. However, if you don't have these, it's not ma'akev. The ritzuais, halacha l'maishim mitzinai, need to be black on the outside, but the batim can be any color. Also, tefillin must be merubas, they must be square. That's also halacha l'maishim mitzinai. This means that both the tetura and the mavarta must be squared perfectly, meaning that if you draw a diagonal across the square, that line will be 1 2/5 the size of each of the four squared sides. The Gemara says the kesher, the knot that we make on the tefillin, must be made from one piece of leather, from one ritzua, not from two pieces of leather. The Mechaber paskens that b'di'eved, two pieces of leather tied into a kesher, is kosher, but one cannot make a bracha on it. Marbrei de Ravina used to handle his shalreish by letting the ritzua, after the kesher part, hang down in front of him. This is in fact what we do today. Rav said, the kesher of tefillin is halacha l'maishim mitzinai. Rashi learns that this means that the kesher must be shaped like the letter dalet. This completes the shem shakai, since we have shin on the shalreish, the yud in the ritzua of the shalyad, and now the kesher of the shalreish is shaped like a dalet. Rav Nachman said, the nicest part of the ritzua must be facing the outside, i.e. the black part must face outside. From the pasuk in Devarim Chav Ches, V'ro kol ha'amei ha'aretz, ki shem Hashem nikra alecha, v'yaru mimecha, we learn that this is referring to the shem shakai that the goyim will see on our tefillin, and therefore they'll be afraid of us. We know the famous maisa that is said over about the Balatanya, that when he was in prison, and one officer came in while he was wearing his tefillin, he fainted when he saw the tefillin. Rabbi Yehuda says, the kesher of the tefillin, shalreish, should be high up on the back of the neck and not low, symbolizing the fact that Klal Yisrael should be lemala v'le lemata, and it should be in the center of the back of the head. The Mishneh Berurah, Simen Chav Zayin, Sifkat and Lamed Zayin, says that the kesher should be placed in the back of the head, above the indentation at the back of the head. The bracha of tefillin should be made mishas hanichasan, i.e. just before we tighten the kesher. Taisus brings a raya from here in the name of Rabbeinu Eliyo that the kesher of the shalyad must be redone every day. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees and says we keep the same kesher, but we only tighten it every day. Daf Lamed Vav. Rav Chisda said if someone spoke between putting on the shalyad and the shalreish, he must make a second bracha for the shalreish. Rav Chia says you always make two brachas, l'haniach tefillin on the shel yad, and al mitzvahs tefillin on the shel reish. Abaye and Rav answer, only if you spoke in between do you make two brachas, otherwise you make only one bracha. This is how Rashi learns the Gemara. Rabbeinu Tam, however, learns that one must always make two brachas, one for the shel yad and a separate one for the shel reish. What Abaye and Rava mean is that if you spoke in the middle, then you must make two new brachas on the shel reish. The Rambam in Hilchas Mezuzah, Perek Dalet, Halacha Hey, as well as the Mechaber in Aruch Chaim, Simen Chaf Hey, Sif Hey, paskin like Rashi, that you only make one bracha. While the Rama says we always make two brachas, both the bracha of Lohaniach Tefillin on the shel yad and Al Mitzvah Tefillin on the shel reish. However, the Rama adds that it's good for a person to say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuse Le'olam Vad after reciting the bracha of Al Mitzvah Tefillin, as soon as the tefillin are properly tied to his head. This is based on the halacha in Aruch Chaim, Simen Reish Vav, halacha Vav, that says that if one accidentally recites a bracha levatola, he should say Baruch Shem to minimize his avera. Thus, in deference to Rashi and the men of Yishayim, who are of the opinion that the bracha on the Shel Reish is not required, and therefore it's a bracha levatola, one should say Baruch Shem after reciting the bracha on the Shel Reish, just in case it is a bracha levatola. If one is mafsik between the Shel Yad and the Shel Reish, the Gemara says, he's over on an avera. What's the order for putting on the tefillin? First, the Gemara says a person puts on the shel yad, and then he puts on the shel reish. And when he takes them off, first he takes off the shel reish, then he takes off the shel yad. Putting on the shel yad has kadima over the shel reish because of the pasuk. The pasuk says ukshartem li'ois al yadecha. That's first. Then it says v'hayu l'tafais beinenecha. That comes second. And since it says ulatayta'fais plural, it tells you that whenever you have the shel reish on your head, you must have the shel yad on your arm. That's why we take off the shel reish first, because whenever the shel reish is on, the shel yad must be on as well. Tosfos here discusses the concept of ein mavirin al ha-mitzvos. If a person comes to one particular mitzvah, he can't pass it over in order to do something else. And here we have a very important practical halacha. When a person comes to shul in the morning, when a person davens, first, we know he puts on his talis, then he puts on his tefillin. And when he puts on his tefillin, first he's supposed to put on the shel yad, and then he's supposed to put on the shel reish. What happens in a situation where a person accidentally takes out the tefillin before the talis? Or what if a person accidentally takes out the shel reish before the shel yad? What should a person do? The general rule, of course, is ein mavirin al mitzvos. So technically, a person should really put on what he took first before the other thing, even if it's the wrong thing. That, we say, will apply by talis. By talis, the reason we say that a person puts a talis on before the tefillin is for two reasons. One is because tadir v'she'en a tadir, tadir kaida. A talis a person wears every day. Tefillin a person only wears during the week, not on Shabbos. Therefore, since the talis is worn more often, tadir, the talis v'she'en a tadir, the tefillin, tadir kaida, the talis goes first. Also, the talis goes first because malin b'kaidish v'ein meridin. The talis is less chashev from the standpoint of kedusha than the tefillin. So we put the talis on first, then we're malin b'kaidish by putting on the tefillin next. What if by accident a person took out the tefillin first? In that case, we say the person should first put on the tefillin. Because we say that in mavirin al mitzvos, once a person took the tefillin first, he puts on the tefillin before the talis. Even though normally he's supposed to put on the talis first, in this case he would put on the tefillin first. However, there's a big nafkamina with this halacha in the case of the two tefillin. We know that from the Gzeres HaKasef, we said before, that a person has to put on the shel yad before the shel reish. Uksartem yais ha-yadecha, v'hayilu t'fais b'neinecha. What if the person accidentally took out the tefillin shel reish before the tefillin shel yad? In that case, he has to put it back. And there we do not say that in mavirin al mitzvos, since it is a special Gzeres HaKasef, you always have to put on the shel yad before you put on the shel reish. I.e., we say the Gzeres HaKasev overrides the klal of Ein Mavirin al Mitzvahs and overrides the klal of Mitzvah HaBal Yadcha al Tachmitzana. The Gemara asks, when is the time that one can begin to make the bracha on tefillin? The Gemara answers, when a person can recognize a friend whom he has a casual relationship with, when it's light enough outside that he could recognize him from Dalet Amos away. Then, at that time, he can begin putting on tefillin. What if someone woke up earlier than this, and then he must leave the house, so therefore he wants to put on his tefillin earlier? He can put them on early. Then, when the right zman comes along, he should touch the tefillin, and then he can make the bracha. Until when is the Zman of Tefillin? Tanakhama says, until Shkias HaChama, i.e. Laila is Lav Zman Tefillin. So at night, a person doesn't wear Tefillin. Rabbi Yaakov says, Ad Shetich LaRegel Min HaShuk, until people stop shopping in the marketplace. This is a later Zman than Shkia. The Chachamim say, until people go to sleep. These, both of them, both Rabbi Yaakov and the Chachamim, hold that Laila is the Zman of Tefillin. But they both agree, both Rabbi Yaakov and the Chachamim, that if it's just before Shkia and one had to take off his tefillin to go, for example, to the Beis HaKisei, he shouldn't put them back on. Tefillin is only by day, as we see from the pasuk V'shamarta esachuka hazais lema'ada miyamim yamima. Miyamim yamima tells us that it's only by day. The Gemara says we would think you should put on tefillin on Shabbos and Yontav as well, except for the fact that the pasuk says that tefillin are an ois, V'haya la'ois al yodecha, a sign, a badge of honor that represents the commitment between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. During the week, we need an ois, since we do malacha on the days during the week. But on Shabbos and Yontav, you don't need an ois, since these days in of themselves are oisus. As the pasuk says, ki ois hi beini uveinechem. What about Chol HaMoed? Taisus begins by saying that since Chol HaMoed is like part of Yontav, we also don't need an ois on Chol HaMoed, and therefore we don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. The Mechaber in Siman Lamed Aleph rules that on Chol HaMoed it is osur to wear tefillin. But the Rama says one can put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. The Taz adds, however, that if one puts on tefillin on Chol HaMoed, it should be without a bracha. The Mishnah Brura adds that if a shul has a minig to wear or not to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, a single person who wants to do not like the minig of the shul should be careful not to publicly do the opposite of the minig in that shul. We should point out that tefillin on Shabbos are not only usur to be worn, they're actually muktzah and shouldn't be moved except l'tzarech gufay, because the tefillin are in danger, or l'tzarech mekaymeh, if a person needs the place where the tefillin are sitting on. Rabbi Elazar says anyone who puts on tefillin after shkia is over an aseh. Rabbi Yechanan says he's not over a mitzvah aseh, but he's over on a lav, on a lois aseh. Since any time in the Torah you have the words hishamer, guard yourself, pen, lest, or al, do not, this is a lashon of lois aseh. And here it says, v'shamarta esachuka hazais, v'shamarta is the same as hishamer, which makes it into a lois aseh. We, by the way, paskan that Laila is the Zman of Tefillin, and the only reason we don't put them on at night is because we're afraid that we'll fall asleep in them, and it will be a zilzul mitzvah. The Prima Gadim says that if one davened Marav and then realized that he forgot to put on tefillin that day, as long as it isn't Tzeisek Lechavim, he should put on the tefillin. Rabbi Baruhuna says that a person has a chiyuv to regularly touch his tefillin, so he won't have Hesach Hadas. This is learned from a Kal Vachemer, from Tzitz. We should always touch the Shalyad first, and we do this as the Rush brings down, when we say Ukshartem li'ois al yodecha, as well as an Ashrei at Peseach es yodecha. When the Pasuk says Yodcha by tefillin, it means you must put it on the left hand. Normally, if the Torah says Yemincha, it would be referring to the right hand. Yodcha means of a left hand. Daf Lamed Zayin. Reb Nosson says, since the Pasuk compares Ukshartem to Uchsavtem by mezuzos, we learn that just like we write with our right hand, so too we're supposed to tie tefillin with our right hand. That must mean you have to put it on the left hand. Rav Ashi says, we learn it from Yodcha, which means Yod Keha, the weaker hand, i.e. the left hand. If someone is left-handed, he should put tefillin on his right hand, since for him, the right arm is the weaker arm. Someone who is Shelet Bishtayadav, who is ambidextrous, puts tefillin on his left hand, just like a regular right-handed person. Kuntres Aladaf quotes Taisvis, who considers the halacha of one who writes with his right hand, but whose left hand is his stronger hand and is used for all activities except for writing. Taisvis is essentially deliberating as to which of the two drushas that we said before do we follow according to halacha. Do we adopt Reb Nosson's drusha, Ukshartem Ukhsaftem, which teaches us that one must use his writing hand to tie his tefillin, and accordingly the person in this case would be required to use his right hand to tie his tefillin on his left arm? Or do we accept Rav Ashi's drusha, Yad Keha, which teaches us that tefillin must be tied to one's weaker arm, and accordingly this person would be required to place his tefillin on his right arm, since his right hand is his weaker hand? While Tosfos does not conclusively resolve this question, he suggests that perhaps such a person should be viewed as a person who is shelet b'shtei yadav, who is ambidextrous, and should put tefillin on his left arm. The Rush and many Rishayim rule in accordance with Rav Ashi that the determining factor is not writing but strength, yad keha. Accordingly, they say that such a person must put tefillin on his right arm, since that is his weaker hand. The Beis Yosef in Arachayim Simen Chav Zayin cites Rabbeinu Yechiel, who disagrees, and rules in accordance with Rav Nosson that the determining factor is writing, ukshartem ukhsavtem. The Shulchan Aruch cites both the opinion of the Rush and the opinion of Rabbeinu Yechiel, and does not decide between them. The Rama writes that the minig is to follow the view of Rabbeinu Yechiel and determine the tefillin's proper arm based on one's writing hand, i.e. if a person writes with his right hand, he puts the tefillin on with his right hand, and it goes on his left hand. The Gemara says if someone doesn't have an arm, he shouldn't put on tefillin. Others say if he has part of an arm, he's chayav to put it on that part of the arm that he does have. The Gemara asks, where on the arm do we put the tefillin? The Beis Menashe says the shel yad goes on the bicep, which is called the kibaris, and the shel reish goes on the skull between the eyes, because it says bein einecha, and it goes above the spot where the hair grows. The Mishnah Berurah mentions that one must be careful not to put it actually on the forehead, but actually it has to go higher up on where the hair actually is. We know that there is an isser to mix wool with linen in a beged. This is called shatnes. The machlekes in our Mishnah about having tzitzes on three of the four corners of a beged would create an afkamina in regard to a beged with three tzitzes made of wool tied to a beged made of linen. According to the Tana Kama, who says all four corners are one big mitzvah, if you have only three, you aren't yaitza anything, but should also be over on the isser of shatnes, since these three now are like regular begadim, and it's like you're being over on shatnes. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, even without the fourth one, one would be yaitza the mitzvah tzitzes with the other three. This asay of tzitzes would override the lais asay of shatnes. Another nafkamina is if someone goes out with a beged with three tzitzes on Shabbos, is he chayev for haitza on Shabbos? According to the Tana Kama, he would be, because really he's not wearing something of tzitzes. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, he would not be over, since technically he's wearing tzitzes on the other three corners. The halacha is like Rabbi Shmuel, that each of the four corners is considered a separate mitzvah. Finally, the rule is, gadol kavod habrias shadeicha es leisase. This would apply to an iser derabanan. For example, stones are muktzah on Shabbos midrabanan, also shvus. If someone needs them to help him use a bathroom on Shabbos, he can touch them even though they're muktzah, due to kavod habrias. But this rule would not override an iser daraisa. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin parak dalet hatcheles from the Mishnah on daf lamed ches. As background, the mitzvah of tzitzis is learned from Parsha Shlach, where the pasuk tells us about two mitzvahs. Number one, the osu lahem tzitzis al kanfei bidehem luderaisa. Number two, v'nosnu al tzitzis hakanaf pisil tcheles. The first mitzvah is the mitzvah of tzitzis, which is referred to as lavan, which is the white strands that are on the tzitzis. And the second mitzvah is the mitzvah of tcheles, which means putting blue on some of the tzitzis. And the Mishnah says, the tcheles is not ma'akev the lavan. So if one just is mekayim the first mitzvah, i.e. putting tzitzis on the fringes of his baget, which as we mentioned before is called lavan, but he's not mekayim the second mitzvah of putting tcheles on the chutin, he is yaitza the mitzvah of tzitzis. Vice versa as well. If a person only does the tcheles but not the lavan, he's also yaitza the mitzvah of tzitzis. Also, if one wears the tefillin of the shel reish without the shel yad, or the shel yad without the shel reish, he's also yaitza the mitzvah, since each of the two is a separate mitzvah. One, the pasuk says, ukshartem li'ois al yodecha, and second of all, the pasuk says, v'hayu l'tefais v'enenecha. It's two separate mitzvahs. Rashi here points out that while the mitzvah is two strands of lavan by tzitzis and two strands of tcheles, if one does not have tcheles, he must still put on four chutin of lavan, not two chutin of lavan. And Tosfos agrees that today, v'chein enu noyagin, when we have no tcheles, the Ravid holds that l'chatchila, even if one has tcheles, the mitzvah is three lavan and one tcheles, not like Rashi, 2 plus 2. And the reason it's 3 plus 1, since the pasuk says, hakanaf Pesil Techeles. Pesil Techeles is mashma only one. The Rambam holds that only a half thread is Techeles. Since we know that we fold the four strands of tzitzis, which makes them into eight strands because we fold them over, only one of the eight has a chi of Techeles, i.e. only a half of one of the original four original strands. And the Gemara says, the Tana of our Mishnah cannot be Rebbe, since Rebbe holds that tzitzis and Techeles are ma'akev zu as zu, since the Pasuk says, u'ri'isem oisoi, in Lashon Yochid. It's all one big mitzvah. The Chachamim say it's not ma'akev. The Gemara says the mitzvah is first to put the threads of Lavan into the tzitzis, and then, secondly, to put the Techeles into the tzitzis, since the Pasuk says, v'nosnu al tzitzis hakonaf, then it says, pasil Techeles, so that comes second. If you switch the order, b'di'evid u'yaitze the mitzvah. But you're still missing doing it like a mitzvah min ha-muvchar. Levi used to call Shmuel Aryeich, Arye, like a lion, since he was like a lion who is king, since Shmuel was the king of Psak, meaning that whenever there was a machlekes amarayim in Dinim, they paskin like Shmuel. The rule was halacha kirav b'isura, halacha kishmuel b'dinim. Finally, by tzitzis, the rule is that after groups of loops around the tzitzis are made, there must be a knot. In fact, at least one knot is midaraisa. Daflamatas. We use four threads in each corner, which get folded over to equal eight chutin. The thread that is used to tie the loops can be counted as one of the eight. When doing the loops of the tzitzis, there should be a minimum of seven loops and a maximum of 13. Seven is keneged the shiva rikiyim, and 13 also includes the six gaps between the seven. So 7 plus 6 is equal to 13. And in fact, this is in fact what we do today. We do two knots, seven loops, then we do two knots and eight loops, two knots and 11 loops, two knots and 13 loops, and then two more knots. When he begins to wind, a person begins to wind the loops, he should start with white wool, in the middle use Techeles, and finish with white wool. Since the Pasuk mentions Shatnez, Tzemeru Pishtim, and it's followed immediately by the mitzvah of tzitzis, Gedilim Tasalach, we learn that it's okay to have Shatnez in tzitzis, either if it's Tzemer in Pishtim or Pishtim in Tzemer. Rava says all four-cornered begodim midaraisa require tzitzis, no matter what material they're made from. The Ramah and Or HaChaim Siman Tes Sif Aleph, as well as Tosfos and the Rush, follow the Shita of Rava. Reb Nachman says, however, min haTorah only begodim made of wool or linen have a chi of tzitzis. If they're made out of other materials, for example, silk or cotton, the chi of tzitzis is only midrabanan. The Rif, the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch follow this view of Reb Nachman. The Mishneh Berurah in Sifkat and Gimel points out that this machlokes has an interesting ramification in halacha. According to the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, one should make an effort to wear a woolen talus rather than one of cotton or silk, since by wearing a woolen talus, one fulfills a mitzvah min haTorah, whereas by wearing a cotton talus, one fulfills only a mitzvah min Rabbanan. On the other hand, according to the Ramah, who rules like Rava, there was no reason for one to buy a woolen talus rather than one of cotton, since the mitzvah of tzitzis for both of them is min haTorah. Daf Mem. A sadin, which is a garment of linen, Beis Shammai says you don't have to put tzitzis on them, since once you put Techeles on it, there will be wool, and wool plus this linen is equal to shatnez. Beis Hillel says you're chayev, even if it's made of shatnez, wool and linen, i.e. kalayim is mutter by tzitzis, and we say ese doicha leisase, since there is a juxtaposition of psukim in the Torah, smuchim. It says leisilbas shatnez is right next to gedilim tasalach. Therefore, since you have smuchim, and Beis Hillel is derish smuchim, so here you would say ese doicha leisase. Beis Shammai, on the other hand, is not derish smuchim, but halacha is like Beis Hillel. The Gemara says in Yerushalayim they assured the wearing of tzemer and tcheles in pishtim, in tzitzis, since people come to think that shatnez in general is mutter. Tzitzis must be made via tasa, but not me'osoi, meaning that first you must have the four-cornered beged, only then can you attach tzitzis to them. But you can't stam make tzitzis and then produce the beged. A beged made of ore, of leather, is putter from tzitzis. The Levush in our Chaim Siman Tes explains that the term beged denotes a woven material. So when the Pasuk says al kanfei bigdeihem, on the corners of their garments, it's taken as referring only to woven fabrics, but not to leather. Mirza Shem, on the next day, we'll continue in the sugya of tzitzis, But at this point, we will conclude our share.